right, I want to preach a message tonight that that goes with the revival theme that where we find ourselves. I want to take tonight, Sunday and Sunday night, and possibly next Wednesday night, and just do some preparation work in our hearts for revival. I do not want revival to sneak up on you. I don't want you to come from running your guts out and organizing your life and whatever difficulties or work or whatever issues that we have, just in all of our lives, mine included. I don't want to just be in some sprint and all of a sudden run ourselves into this building on Sunday the 24th and it be revival. If you approach revival that way, you're going to miss out on God doing a work of revival in your heart. And I know this. If you've ever had God do a work of revival in your heart, you want that work done again. It's a powerful, wonderful, peaceful work that God does in our lives. And so I was praying and asking God, what would you have me preach on Wednesday night in preparation for our hearts and for a revival? And God brought this passage of Scripture to my mind in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 13. It is a unique passage of Scripture. It's one I never would have come to on my own. I guarantee you that. And so that encourages me because that enables me to know that God has given us His Word for this evening. I would like for you to have at least a pen somewhere where you could write a note or two or a thought or two down on your prayer bulletin or the outline of this as we move forward there. Pick up, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. Now, some words in here will help you understand where we are. If you're a Bible student and you're used to studying the life of David, you will know that David's arch enemies were the Philistines. Who was the most famous Philistine David killed? Goliath. Okay. And so you know you had a battle there. In verse number 13, where it begins and it says, three of the 30 chief, there's talking about a group of men known in the Bible as David's mighty men. These are magnificent, marvelous men that God used in the life of David. They were warrior men. They were soldiers. They were violent. They were men who knew how to use the sword or the spear. They were men that God gave wonderful victory to in certain moments. It's a fascinating read and study on David's mighty men. He's referring to three of them that are in the cave here with David in the cave Adullam. Pick up in verse 14. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Now that word ought to sound familiar. And David, what's that next word? Longed. That's an important word in our study tonight. If you have a pen, you ought to underline that word in your Bible. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out, where? Unto the Lord. And he said in verse 17, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. So you have David in this cave. And he's in this cave for a reason. I'll show you the reason in just a moment. While he's in this cave, David has a longing, a desire. As I was reading the commentary and studying a little bit, some of the scholars don't even know that David so much as gave this as a command, but he just kind of made a wish out loud. And his wish was, man, I sure would like a drink from that well in Bethlehem. Now, if you remember, this passage said that the Philistines were all encamped around them. And so it really was an impossibility in David's mind that he could have this drink from that well, but he longed for it. But David had these mighty men that were there, and those three men loved the Lord, they loved David, and they heard the longing of David. And even though that there was that host of Philistines there, they were going to go get that water for David. And so they got their sword, they got their spear, and the Bible says in verse number 16 that they break through the host of the Philistines, and they went and they got that water, and they brought that water back to David. And when they brought that water back to David, David was humbled by that. He was overwhelmed by what they had done. And David knew that it was not only an act for David, but it was an act of worship unto the Lord as they were serving the king. And so David did not cheapen their life or belittle them by drinking the water. He had such respect for what they had done that David took that water, and he, in that symbolic way of the priest, the way they used to pour out that drink offering, he poured out that drink offering unto the Lord. You say, Pastor, what in the world does this passage of Scripture have to do with revival? Well, I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled, A Longing for Revival. A Longing for Revival. And I'm asking God to put within your heart, and I'm asking God to put within my heart a longing for revival. And I want you to understand the power of a longing. And I believe that the power of a longing and the effect of a longing is so illustrated by what these men did in the life of David. And the fact that he just longed for a drink of impossible water so spurred these men to break through the host and bring him back his water. It moved them. And so I'm asking God to put a longing in our hearts for revival that will have an effect and an influence upon our lives, as illustrated by what these men have done. And I can take certain phrases. I got 5 points tonight. I want to walk you through this text, and I want to make personal application to your life, but you got to think. All right, you didn't come here not to think tonight. So I want to come back. I want you to promise me that you'll think. In verse number 14, the Bible says that David is in a hold. You see that word. That word is a stronghold. Verse number 13, we're told that David is in the cave of Adullam. Now, when we know that David is in the cave of Adullam, and a lot of good work was done in that cave, a lot of Bible was written in that cave. And there's either two reasons that would describe the time in which we find ourselves in David's life. Either he's running from Saul at this point in time because Saul was going to kill him, or he's just been anointed king in Hebron, and this is where they finds himself. But he's in this cave and he's hiding. Now, hiding was not something that David was used to doing. Hiding was not something that was befitting David. Matter of fact, there was a song written about David that will kind of prove to you what kind of man he was. It went something like this. Don't panic, I'm not going to sing it. Saul has slain his thousand, but David has slain 10,000. When everybody else was hiding from Goliath, it is David that stands up and says, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill you in the name of the Lord. When you and I would have run from a bear or from a lion, it's David that runs to the bear and to the lion. So David was no coward. He was a mighty man. He was a warrior. He was a ferocious, intense man. You could say a lot about him, but you could not say that he was a coward. And it was not befitting of him to find himself hiding. But in reality, this is where he finds himself. And this cave of Adullam has become David's reality. Now, I need you to write that word down. It's point number one. Reality. It's a transition. It's a troubling time and a transition time in David's life. Go back to chapter number 21. In chapter 21, in verse number 1, you will find that the Bible says that there was a what in the days of David? A famine. All right. So David finds himself in this passage of Scripture happens when there's a famine in the land. Now, a famine in the land wasn't just a little bit of time where there wasn't rain. I mean, it was troubling. People died from famine. And the place is drying out, and there's not much water left in the watering holes. And water's not as clean and as pure and as cold. It's been, what is there has been setting in the sun, and there's been no fresh water falling. And so you can kind of understand why David sitting in that cave would begin to long from that deep well of Bethlehem. That word well really was a word of cistern, where that water was cool and clean and crisp. And really and truthfully, his reality had become famineous and dry, and he begins to have a longing for that. Matter of fact, if you go to chapter 21, verse number 15, not only did he have a troubling time of famine, but he's got a transitional time in his own life. And when you look at verse number 15, there's a battle going on with the Philistines. And it says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed what? Faint. He's an old man. You read on in verse number 16, and Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. So David's down there fighting, and he gets tired. He gets faint. This man sees an opportunity to take his sword and go kill David. Verse number 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And so not only is David in this cave in the time of famine, and he's dealing with the reality of that, he's also dealing with the reality of a transition of his time and of his life. He goes from being the warrior to being an old man. He goes from being the one that rescues everybody to the one that needs to be rescued. And now his own men are kind of coddling him and caring for him and putting him in a position where he can't even defend himself. And they're saying, you can't go out there and fight anymore, because if they kill you, which they probably are going to do, then it's going to dampen the light of Israel. So now he's dealing with the reality of his own weakness. He's dealing with the reality of the famine and the dryness of the land. And he's hiding in this cave. And really and truthfully, this has become his reality. What's the application for our lives? The application for our lives is sometimes we've got to stop and address our reality. Sometimes the world and the life we are living is not real. And sometimes we go at such a pace, and we have the ability to manipulate our lives and kind of make it from day to day. We call it making ends meet. And really and truthfully, sometimes in our Christian walk, in our mind, we think we're doing more than we really are. See, in David's mind, don't you dare coddle me like some old man. I'm a warrior. And they're going to say, yeah, but that guy was going to take your head off. So old man, come over here and sit down and we will protect you. And David is thinking that he can do, his mind says yes, but his body says, and many of you are familiar with that, amen? And so he's adjusting to this reality. So I want to ask you a question. If we really were to stop and look at the reality of your life, where are you? Are you really as spiritual as you think you are? Are you really in the Word of God? Is it really the reality of your life that you have spent time on your knees praying? Is the reality of your life that you really are tempered and under control of the Spirit? Is the reality of your, what is the reality of your spiritual condition? And so God has David in this cave. And in David's mind, he's adjusting to his reality, and it's not what he likes. And now, based off of that reality, a longing begins to develop in verse number 15 of chapter number 23. And chapter 23, verse number 15, it says when he's in that hold in verse 14 and verse 15, and David began to long. Now this word long is important. This word long is the same word covet. Pastor, I thought coveting was a sin. No, not all coveting is a sin, because Paul told us to covet earnestly the best gifts. There is a covetousness that deals with the flesh, but there's also a covetousness of the things of the Spirit of God. And so this word long carries with the idea of a covetousness. It carries with it the idea of an earnest desire. It's a very, very intense word. And the only way I know how to describe it is to hold your hand here and go to Psalm 42. Go to Psalm 42, and David himself writes about this, the power of this longing, and he uses an animal to describe this in Psalm 42. Verse number one. As the hart, H-A-R-T. Now we know that animal to be a what? A deer. Anybody ever seen a real deer in the wild? Okay. Some of you haven't. As the hart, what's that word? Panteth, longed. As the hart longeth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, David is in this cave. He's come to the understanding of his reality, which has brought a recognition to his soul. And the recognition of his soul brings him to a longing, or to a remembrance. And so you can understand the depth of what that means. David writes in the book of Psalm about the deer. Now, I've got some experience here with deer coming from northern Michigan. And I want you to understand the desire to live is raging in a deer. I have seen deer do things that would blow your mind so they could survive. Now, if you're an animal rights person, you're going to hate your pastor for the next couple of minutes. But I promise you, I ate everything that I did to these every one of these animals. All right? I was driving down the road one day, except for this animal, and a deer ran out in front of me, and I hit him with my car. I hit him in the front bumper. And that deer just went boom, 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 and tumbled a little bit. And that thing got up, and it ran off like a jet into the woods. And I thought, well, for sure I killed that animal. When I got out there, and I caught that animal bounding away, and I thought, well, man, I didn't do much damage. And I looked in my bumper, and there was his leg. I have seen deer with a .30-06, a .270, a .308, a slug. I have seen those animals crawl on their knees. I have seen them bleeding like you wouldn't imagine, come to a barbed wire fence and either jump that fence or go right through that barbed wire fence. I've seen them jump in water, frozen water, and swim to the other side trying to survive. I've literally heard those animals as they run through panting. And most of the time when you're tracking a deer that you've shot or you've wounded, that deer is panting for the water and they're trying to get to the water. I have tracked them for miles. I have tracked them for yards. I have tracked them when I have never found them. I've never seen the desire to live in an animal like I've seen in a deer. You're saying, Pastor, you're a horrible shot. So here's what David says. David said, I'm in this cave, and a longing begins to develop in my heart. And he had written that same word about that animal that just longed for the water to get some kind of drink. And what had happened was David had come to the recognition of his reality. And his reality had become dry. His reality had become weak. His reality had become, now he's hiding in a cave. And now as he begins to develop this thirst and this recognition of what's going on, and his mouth is parched, and he's weary, and he's tired, and he's frustrated, and this desire, this earnest desire begins to develop for that water over there. Now, I want you to know something. God will use seasons and problems, and God will create reality in your life to develop a longing in your life. Okay? Now, our problem is we're stubborn. And our problem is we don't want to sit still. And really and truthfully, the last thing we want to do is really know about reality. And we don't really want to take an inventory of our lives. We don't want to sit down long enough and say, God, search my heart, try me, see what's in my heart. We don't want to begin to really point out, well, I'm really not walking with the Lord, and I'm really not right here in this relationship, and I'm really not here in this bitterness, and I'm really not here in this forgiveness, and I'm really not strong on my knees in prayer, and I'm really not the joy of the Lord. And really and truthfully, I look good tonight, but my reality is I'm dry, and I'm barren, and I'm weak. And God will begin to create those scenarios and in our lives with a desire to create with us a longing. If you're with me, just nod your noggin. Okay, now stay here. Don't lose me. Pastor, I sense in my life I need something new. I sense in my life that I need something different. Pastor, I'm just not settled. I'm anxious. I just kind of have this longing. I just sense that I need something new. Very dangerous is that statement. Okay. If you're unsaved in this room and you've never been born again, and you sense that you need something new in your life, you need Jesus. But to the believer who has Jesus, and yet there's this longing that develops in our soul, a lot of times we think that longing just means that I need something new or something different. But the reality of that statement is, really and truthfully, what you need is you need revival. So we're always so quick to say, I'm not right, Pastor. I've got longing. So I need a new, I need a new church. No, you need your church. Well, Pastor, I just need some new relationships. Careful. Pastor, I just need a new start. I just need a new face. I just need something new. No. If you know the Lord Jesus, He's all you need. And what you need is not something new. You need revival. Now, I'll prove that to you. Look, if you would, at verse number 15 of chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of, say it, Bethlehem. of Bethlehem. So David's got this longing. And it's a longing that's been stirred because of his reality. He's got a recognition of his thirst. But in that longing, in that recognition, he has a remembrance. It's not really a desire for something new. He remembers the water that he used to drink in Bethlehem. And so this longing is not directing him forward, it's directing him backward. Okay? Let me say this. Sometimes God wants to take you backwards. We're so quick to always want to go forward, but sometimes God wants to bring you back. And so, would you hold your hand here, and would you please go to 1 John chapter 2, and let me show you a truth out of 1 John chapter 2. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 7. John's writing here, and he says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an," what's that word? "Old commandment, which you had from the beginning. That old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." Now look at verse number 8. Again, a, what's that word? So in verse 7, he says, "I don't write you a new one." In verse number 8, he says, "I do write you a new one." Well, how can he say that, Pastor? Well, in verse number 7, he says, now, this is an old commandment. Verse number 8, he says, no, this is a new commandment. "Brethren," in verse number 7, "I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment." Verse number 8, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Well, Pastor, how can John say he's not writing an old commandment or new commandment? Now he says he is writing a new commandment. What John is teaching them is, I'm writing you to love your brother. That's been a commandment all the way from the beginning. It's old in when it was given, but it's new in the moment and it's fresh in the moment. And he's saying, stop looking for something new, because what you were given in the Word of God is timeless and it's good for every occasion. So here's what's wrong with God's people. You get a longing in your soul because you don't like your reality. Therefore, we think, I got to have something new. Give me a new wife. Give me a new relationship. Give me a new direction. Give me a new church. Give me a new this. Give me a new this. And so we want to go forward onto something new. And God says, no. I stirred that longing so you would remember back here. Back here, because here's where the good water is. And so we want to go try to find new water. Let me tell you something. You want to drink water God gives you. So we've got Christians so discontent with their reality, and they're recognizing this longing. But instead of remembering when the water of Bethlehem, remembering that time when you met the Lord, remembering that fresh time when you knew God, remembering those times when you walked with God and God was sufficient to your need and the joy of the Lord was your strength and all that he had, we kind of want to go this direction, and God's saying, wait, you're in that cave. I need you to come back over here to where I am. So look what happens in verse number 16. These men heard about David's longing and his remembrance, and a risk develops out of this. Now, I love this point. This is my best point I have tonight. Pastor, I was hoping you'd get to a good one sooner or later. Verse number 16, it says, "And these three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem." Now, here's David recognizing his reality, recognizing this longing and remembering that water. But between him and that water is who? The Philistines. Now, enemy was between him and that water. And we've already discussed that David in himself was not able to go get that water. He wasn't strong enough. He didn't have the stamina to do it. He didn't have the skill anymore to do it. And if David would have tried to leave that cave, and David would have tried to go get that water, David would have been destroyed. So let me make some application for us. Pastor, if I was to be honest and I was to sit down and I was to think about the reality of my spiritual condition, I wouldn't like it. I'm dry. I'm weak. And really and truthfully, I'm here tonight, but I'm hiding in a cave. And yeah, Pastor, there has been this longing in my heart. I'm just not satisfied. I'm angry. My temper is short. I'm bothered. I'm not sleeping. And I begin to long, and I just really thought, I just need something new, and I'm constantly looking for something new, something that might get me on the right path. And the reality is, it's not that. What you need to be looking at is back to that relationship and that vibrancy you had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, there's enemies back that way. See, this happens to me all the time, Pastor. I want to be right with God. I want vibrancy. I want to be able to pray. I don't want to be in this reality I'm in. I know I'm unsettled here. But if you're telling me I got to go back to those moments, there's enemies back there. There's nothing in front of me. Right. Because there's nothing in front of you that the devil thinks is worthy to guard you from. So what would be an enemy back there? Well, the enemy back there would be something like your own weakness. Man, Pastor, 1,000 times I have said, I'm going to read this word. 1,000 times I've said, I'm not going to do that stupid sin anymore. 1,000 times I have, and I keep running into my flesh. That's an enemy. Pastor, it's nothing but dry bones back there, man. I've died 1,000,000 times on those hills. Pastor, if I go back there, there's realities I got to face. There's things I did wrong. There's my own weakness. There's this temptation. There's this and that. I mean, between me where I am now to where I used to be with the Lord, there's a lot of things in my life that are at enmity against that. Right. That was David's reality. He was too dry and he was too weak. So basically what David did is David just simply said, I wish I longed for a drink from that water. And I don't even think David knew it. But over there were three men that loved David. And over there were three men that got the burden of that. And they picked up their swords and they broke through those enemies. They were called mighty men. I want you to say that with me. They were called what? Mighty men. So Tom, somebody answer this question. What part of the Trinity is the muscle of God? Who's the muscle? If Jesus is the Word and the Father is the Father, then who's the muscle of God? The Holy Spirit. All throughout that Bible, the Holy Spirit is the muscle of God. Now, the same way that these three mighty men were David's muscle to bust through those enemies and get that water is the same way that the Holy Spirit is the one that will bust through your enemies. So you look back and you think, no way, man, Pastor. That was a different time in my life. Life was so much simpler. I wasn't married. Praise the Lord. Sorry about that, Jeff. I didn't have children. I didn't have all these problems. I didn't have whatever. Pastor, back there, I just don't see that as a possibility in yourself. But I read in this Bible that there's nothing impossible with who? God. So David had a longing. David's longing just became verbalized. Don't freak out on this because I'm not going off the deep end. David really just prayed, and those men heard his prayer. In reality, those men heard the longing or the prayer of David, and it stirred them to move. If you fell on your knees and you said, God, I'm not satisfied with my reality. I recognize I got a longing in my heart. I remember a day when I wasn't in this place. But God, there's a great risk here. I have a longing to be back there, but I don't have the muscle to be back there. So Holy Spirit of God, would you help me? Holy Spirit of God, would you strengthen me? Holy Spirit of God, would you break through the enemies of my life and restore unto me the joy of my salvation? Let me tell you something. There's no muscle like the muscle of the Holy Spirit of God. David could never have got that water himself. And you and I will never in our own ability get us to the place of spiritual success. We need God. But those men would have never moved if they hadn't heard David's longing. And God's not going to move and bring you to a position of revival if you don't want it. He's not. He's not going to bring you to a position of revival if you don't long for it, if you don't want it, if you don't think about it, if you don't ask him for it. If you're satisfied with your reality, God's going to let you be satisfied with your reality. David's reality was he was dry and weak and hiding. To me, that's horrible. And I don't want to live in a horrible reality. I want to live in a place where the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you want to live there, say amen. But you got to want it. You got to ask God for it. There's a risk there, but the Spirit of God can do that. And then lastly, there's a reward. And the reward was they brought back that water. And David takes that water, and he doesn't drink it. I already told you that. And he pours it out unto the Lord. And there's a moment there of worship. And there's a moment there of joy. And there's a moment now where even though he's in this cave, and there's a moment of famine there, and there's the moment of weakness, and David has this water that he could have satisfied his thirst with, but instead of himself being important, God became important. And instead of himself, he trying to renew his own thirst or renew his own desire, he begins to renew and pour out that offering upon the Lord. So I want to ask you this question. When's the last time you worshiped God in a way that was fluid and liquid-like? When's the last time that it wasn't about me? It was about the precious Savior. When is the last time that you didn't want your reality, you wanted a reality where Christ was preeminent and he was worshiped in our life? Listen, if you long for that, you want that, you desire that, you ask God for that, our God is able to give that into our lives. Amen? You don't have to live in a dry, weak reality. We can know revival. So here's a pastor. I'll give you two perspectives and we'll be done. My perspective for my own life is I'm just as capable of hitting a bad reality as you are. And I don't want to be there. For our church, I don't want our church to be live in a false reality of where we are with the Lord. I want our church to long for revival. I want you to long for revival. And I don't want the enemies, the failures, the humbleness, the flesh, the weakness, all these enemies that stand between you and revival in your mind, none of them are greater than our God. We serve an awesome God. So let's ask God to stir a longing in our heart for revival. Shall we pray?